So what is the most underrated comfortable passenger seat in a car?
French. Go French. French cars are the most comfortable cars.
Yeah, but is that either... the suspension or the seat?
No, it's genuinely the seat. Like, I've driven... I remember Claire's first car was a Mark 1 Focus. You may as well have been sitting on a stone chair. and then she upgraded to 407, I'm going to say. And, oh, I mean, you could quite comfortably sit in a good Peugeot seat. You know, and Citroëns were well known for their quality. So I'm going to say you need to get an 80s Citroën seat.
I don't know.
That might be a bit niche.
Went to Le Mans in the next Renault Laguna. That was pretty comfy.
Yeah, because it's French.
90s French does it as well. But we also did it in his Focus, and that was quite comfy. I think Nick really buys that. Cars that have got good passenger seats, actually, because the Cayman's got nice passenger seats.
Yeah, the 350 that I went to Le Mans with him was nice. That was all right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it doesn't have 80s French velour. That is peak luxury. You can keep your leather seats all you want. I'm not interested. Give me big, poofy, really comfortable seats which offer no protection whatsoever if you take a corner too fast.
Yeah, I don't want leather.
I don't understand why people actually like leather in car seats. Can any of you tell me why leather is objectively better than cloth or Alcantara?
Yes, because I can wipe it clean after my kids have been in the back.
Oh, good show. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say I could wipe it clean after a good driving experience, then. But yeah.
I was going to say, I was thinking something else, but I thought no.
Wow, we've got the show title really early. I mean, when I was looking for a car last year, I was like, leather costs more, so it should be more desirable. It's just not that good. You know, when it's hot, you stick to it. Whenever it's cold, it's just cold. It doesn't even feel nice.
No.
And it's that it's wipe clean, which it is, but it's also really easy to stain leather. You've seen those cars that have got like cream leather and white leather, and the seat is blue from people sitting in there with their jeans on. It's like, imagine spending that amount of money to get extra fancy seats, and then you can't wear jeans in your car.
Well, I think that's something that happens not just with leather. You know, it happens with what is it that Tesla make their seats out of?
Is this what they call vegan leather, which I don't understand?
It's plastic.
It's basically plastic. That's the same thing. It turns out if you get a car with a white interior, it's going to stain easier. Who knew?
I mean, you, as somebody who's not a fan of Tesla interiors and baiting you for an argument here, it's like that doesn't really matter. It's kind of the least of the problems with the Tesla interior.
No, for me, that's the most of the problem with the Tesla interior.
It's everything. It's,
there is
the
one.
The Tesla is kind of, it is the greatest example of everything that's wrong with a modern car interior. It's the best example of it because it does everything wrong. And in that way, I kind of respect it. They doubled down on being terrible.
No, hang on. What Tesla did. Now, okay, let me preface this by saying I am no fan of Elon Musk.
Like how everybody's got to say that.
Like most people. Yeah. It's like, you know, Tesla owners have that bumper sticker that says, I bought this before Elon was Elon.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you sit in most modern cars, you're surrounded by buttons. You're surrounded by more buttons. There's a couple of knobs here and there. And
in Teslas.
Not just in the podcast. You know, there's a lot of buttons, and you know, some of those buttons you really, really need. Volume up, volume down, really important. Stereo on, stereo off, yeah, it's kind of important. Maybe a mute button. My car doesn't have a mute button. But you know, think about like the left mirror height adjuster. Think about the TARA button. Isn't that a thing? On stereos. Now, yeah. Hang on. Let me finish. So, you have all of these buttons. Some of them you may never press. Some of them you might press every couple of weeks. Some of them you'll press every day. Tesla went, we'll just throw it on a touchscreen. Don't need a button.
But the problem is you don't need a button on the touchscreen. The
stereo settings that to adjust. Do I want the sound more towards me, or do I want the sound more towards the passenger behind me?
So, if we're going on the idea of things that are used less should just get put into the touchscreen, can we discuss the keyboard or piano that's to your right hand side? Because I'm pretty sure that you don't press all the keys all the time. So, how about we just remove those and put an iPad above it? And then when you want those ones, you can navigate through the menu several layers deep to press them.
Well, hang on. I have to tell you a story.
Having witnessed Scott at Sim's wedding, I'm pretty sure that's what he does.
Okay. So this beside me is a standard 88 key piano. I can't tell you how many white keys and how many black keys. I can tell you that it adds up to 88 keys. Now, that is fairly standard. That one, I don't know how many is on that, and I've one over there at 61 key. But most pianos, like most pianos, are 61 keys. But you can get one with bonus keys. You can buy a very expensive grand piano. Now, these have been around for about 100 years or so. And what they give you, they don't give you any more notes at the top end. They give you four more notes at the bottom end of the piano. Okay, so
piano DLC,
a Spinal Tap piano.
So, but here's the great thing about these
more show titles
is they're covered over with a little flap. Okay, and the reason why is because whenever you play the piano, You're not looking intently at where every finger is and where every hand is at all time. You know, you're just kind of playing, and you know, you kind of know I'm hitting a low note and it's roughly this far away from the bottom of the piano. So if you put your hand roughly that far away from the bottom of the piano, you'll hit the right note. Now, if you have four extra notes and you put your hand this much away from the bottom part of the piano, you're going to play a load of wrong notes. And this actually happened, not to me, but this happened at a jazz festival where pianist A played it with the little flap open and played the extra note. Pianist B came on, didn't close the flap, played a whole bunch of wrong notes and sounded absolutely terrible.
It was jazz. Did anybody notice the wrong notes?
Was it at the Bude Jazz Festival?
I thought that was the point in jazz, that it was all the wrong notes.
Anyway, I think there's probably another topic that we should be talking about. Again, another one where you're all going to think that I have a different opinion that may be slightly controversial. Why does this keep happening to me?
I want to know. Is this why we started off on French cars and
just avoiding the topic controls? At hand.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just going to be an hour of arguing about Max Verstappen again. So we might as well talk about something else. Does anybody have particular opinions on like punctured repair kits or anything you want to get out of the way before we get on to George versus Max?
Oh man, that's such a core memory of sitting with an inner tube going through a washing up bowl looking for bubbles. So an F1 race happened then.
It was a pretty boring race until Kimi's Mercedes engine grenaded itself. Was it the engine that did that, wasn't it? And he ended up in the gravel
track. It was the engine, yeah.
Is that the same thing that happened in Imola as well?
Yeah, and the same thing that happened to Alonso at Monaco, I believe, as well.
I figured it out. I know why there are so many Mercedes engine failures. They're getting prepared for next year when they get to join Alpine. And they're like, we got to get some failures into this because that car is going to be horrendous. Let's pair this with a very unreliable engine.
There's a topic. I've seen somebody mention this on Reddit and I thought it was actually quite a good point for a change made on Reddit. Alpine. Franco Colapinto is not doing much better than Jack Doohan, if at all. So where's the hate? How come every time Jack Doohan locked a wheel, the internet lost their shit? Meanwhile, Franco Colapinto has achieved the same thing, but also brought a lot of problematic fans to the sport. And that's just fine? This feels a little bit unfair to Jack Doohan.
I think you are heading into F1 perception territory here, where...
Don't get me started on that. There's a whole episode you've had on that after...
Well, you have good experience of this. Colapinto, as a result of turning up last year and scoring a couple of points, managed to get that F1 perception of, I'm good and I'm quick. Now, that F1 perception does ignore the fact that towards the end of last year, all he did was stuff it in the wall. But by this stage, the F1 perception was set. This guy's great. So that's kind of carried on. I think it's also that he was able to score points last year, so we do know he has actual ability that he did prove last year.
Yes, but has he though?
Well, because he did.
He's now achieving the same as Jack Doohan. So if we had switched this round and Jack Doohan had been given that opportunity and then got stuffed in the Alpine, which is seemingly dreadful, would we have changed the perception of that? Because it appears to me that Jack Doohan, they'd already decided he was being sacked before he was employed, which is quite remarkable.
Yes.
And then they put Colapinto in and he's not gone any better. It's like, I know there's the F1 perception thing, but it felt like Jack's been set up to fail. Colapinto's not doing any better, but nobody's going, maybe we should switch them around. Whereas when Red Bull were doing this and people were very vocal very quickly about, no, this is not going to work, this is a bad idea. I'm just not sure why Colapinto's getting a free pass.
I think it's because people have this opinion, rightly or wrongly, that Colapinto can do it, whereas Jack Doohan never really showed whether he could or couldn't. Quite a lot of time he crashed out very early on, or he just wasn't that fast. Obviously, it's ironic that in his last race he did out-qualify Gasly. But, you know, that I guess it comes down to it, in that very limited run of races, you didn't really get a sense of where that ceiling was. Whereas with Colapinto, you knew that, okay, this guy can score points. Has he scored points? No. Is he likely to score points? I don't know. But, you know, he looks slightly more convincing than Doohan does. And, you know, I feel sorry for Doohan. I feel sorry for anybody that loses their dream drive, five races in, especially when your team boss is your manager who should be looking out for you and who should be supporting your career and then clearly doesn't because he wants the other guy in.
I mean, I don't think you can really talk about Flavio and what he should be doing, because just this week he has denied any involvement with the Singapore race fixing, which is quite remarkable because we know for a fact that he was involved because everybody else involved has admitted it and said he was involved, and he still this week is denying it. What, a decade and a bit on? Decade and a half on? More than a decade and a half, isn't it?
That's brilliant. I love characters like that in Formula One. I think that, you know, I love Formula One, not going to lie. Like, it's the only sport that I watch. It needs these absolutely daft characters because it's basically entertainment.
If you take on Flav as your manager, do you kind of deserve everything you get?
Yes. Yes is the short answer. Yes, you do. Which you don't thought. You signed up to Flavio HQ.
Never looked at it like that, but
you feel sorry for him because Flav's behaving like this, but then, like, he must have chosen Flav, surely. Like, he's not been forced into it, surely.
I suppose there's a bit of that, isn't there? There's also the stories of the Alpine junior driver saying that Alpine doesn't actually have a junior team. They just have liveries that they put on the car every so often. Abby Pulling pulled out of the Alpine junior team. She said it brought nothing to her at all. So, yeah, there's kind of a little bit of you get what you get with them.
the comparison between Doohan and Colapinto, essentially, the main point is the car's crap. So, you know, like I think I said with Sim a few weeks ago, between Doohan and Colapinto, Gasly's hardly kind of ripping up trees. He's not getting the consistent points and big finishes. So when you've got two drivers that are much less experienced than him, then kind of what do you expect as such?
I love how we're all dancing around the very, very obvious topic by talking about the car that keeps finishing last.
Shall we dive right into it then?
He's qualifying last then.
No, I was going to say that there's only really one thing we need to talk about, isn't there? And it's Hülkenberg finishing fifth.
Hülkenberg overtaking Lewis Hamilton, overtaking and Ferrari down the main straight into turn one.
Where are you, Nick?
Solidifying his GOAT status, that one, wasn't he?
Wow. I mean, I know they had, was it a new floor they had on the Sauber this race?
Yeah.
But even still, I mean, Lewis had one of those disaster Lewis races, didn't he? He was just nowhere.
The car had damage. Vasseur said afterwards
that he had floor damage from some point, which caused issues in the last stint. So
Lewis does not seem to be gelling with his race engineer at all either. Like, big shock. Who could have seen this coming? Nobody has ever said that this gentleman is incompetent and needs to be replaced ever on any podcast called the Vocast ever. So, like, that appears to be coming to a head a little bit as well, is that you could tell that relationship is breaking down very, very quickly. He cannot be kept on as a race engineer.
How much of that is, do you think, because Lewis is grumpy because the car is crap?
No, it's that this race engineer was a problem before Lewis was in the team.
This is the same race engineer that
Vettel had, and Vettel was calling all the shots. And then you kind of look at Vettel's time and go, wonder if that's a little bit why he struggled in the Ferrari. Because
but do you think
race
if Lewis was
yourself.
Winning every race, this would be so much of an issue?
Well, no, that would mask it.
But I don't think they can win every race with these race engineers.
Yeah.
So it's like saying, you know, Lewis is unhappy with the engine, but would he be happy if it had 1,000,000 horsepower more and he was winning races? Of course he would, but that's not the reality. You're not going to win races with race engineers as bad as this. Vettel struggled with the same race engineers. Carlos Sainz became very good at making strategy calls from within the car as well. Leclerc's gotten a lot better at it. And now you've got Lewis, who, when things aren't quite right, he seems to suffer. And now you've got a race engineer who's never quite right. So this can't go on. You can't have a race engineer this bad.
Yeah.
Well, some miracle, though, Ferrari is second in the Constructors' Championship.
Yeah, well, more through others' failings. Let's
Well, yeah, because Mercedes had a double no points at Monaco, didn't you?
Yeah, but then Ferrari got disqualified from China.
Yeah, that's what I mean, it balances out.
How is that car, that team, second in the Constructors? It's just...
Red Bull have only got one car.
Yeah.
Kimi's engine keeps failing, as we already agreed.
So they're failing upwards as usual, then, is what we're saying.
Yeah, and I would argue that it's not really down to Lewis Hamilton, the fact that they're second in the championship as well.
The only man who's won a race in a Ferrari this season.
Well, if you can count the sprint race as a race.
It's a race at the Grand Prix.
It's a race. Starts with the green light and ends with a checkered flag. It's a race.
But they were able to run it way low because it was only a sprint. You know, that's really, you know, that's the problem with a Ferrari, is that they just can't run it as low as they want.
Correct.
I know they have a big rear suspension upgrade coming for Silverstone, I believe. The plan is that they will be able to make the car run lower to the ground, but not wear the plank, because that's what happens anytime you see a competitive Lewis Hamilton or a competitive Ferrari, is that they run the car so low to the ground, they get disqualified. Something does need to happen there, doesn't it? You know,
replace the incompetent race engineer.
I'll do it.
The one that TikTok diagnosed a decade ago of being a problem. How about we just go with that?
And what just happened at the weekend, David?
I don't know. I think Max Verstappen assaulted somebody by the look of it. And I'm going to guess that you disagree with that one, Scott.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm not. So, do we want Scott to introduce his point first, or do we want to introduce the rest of the world's point first? And let's not argue against.
No, hang on. You might be surprised at my take here. You might be surprised at my fairly conservative take on this. Max lost the run of himself. Right? Agreed?
Shocker.
Yeah. Now, the question is, for me, what happened next? Sorry, what were his intentions next? So, quick straw poll here. I think there are three possible outcomes here. Or there's three possible scenarios that Max intended. Right. How many of you think option one, he wanted to take George Russell out of the race? None out of three. How many of you think that he wanted to bang George's wheels just to kind of show his displeasure the way Vettel did it at Baku a couple of years ago?
I don't like the way you worded that.
Okay, well, how many of you think that his intention was to run George off the track?
His intention was to deliberately make contact with another car.
That's so you think he did, but for what reason? Like, did he want to take him out of the race, or did he want to show his displeasure at George?
There's not a reason. By asking for a reason, you're asking for a logical reason on why somebody did something completely illogical. There's not a reason on why he wanted to do something. Why did he want to do
this?
Because he was being a child. He has never been told no in his life, apart from when he was left at a petrol station. Arguably, he should have been left at more petrol stations, judging by this, or less. The number of petrol stations that Max has been left at is not correct either way. So he did something completely illogical, purely emotional.
The reason I ask this question is because this question leads to the discussion of what should be the appropriate penalty. So my suggestion of what he intended is that he wanted to run George out of road the way that we've seen him do it time and time and time again. The reason we had the whole discussion last year about driving guidelines, blah, 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 is because Matt kept parking his car at the apex and forcing the other driver off. You think about, especially with Lando at COTA last year.
You know. But that's not what happened here, because in those situations, Max was defending a position or attacking for a position. In this case, he deliberately let another car pull alongside and then drove into it. That's very different.
I think that his intention was he wanted to run George out of road, but George turned in. Now, I think that I don't want you to think that I interpret that as this is on George, because it's absolutely not. It's a corner. He has to turn. I think that Max wanted to run him out of road. George was having absolutely none of it. He saw that Max had moved out the way. Max had even gotten out of throttle at this point. So he assumed, this is my corner. Max has let me through. Then Max decided to be an idiot, squirted a little bit of throttle, decided to run George out of road, and it didn't work. And he just banged wheels into the side of him. So I don't believe that his intention was to take George out of the race. Do either of you think that that was his intention?
I don't think he had any intention, because I genuinely don't think he was thinking.
Yeah.
He let George pass like he was told to do, and then the red mist descended and he decided he wasn't happy with that.
Yeah.
So, and that's it. I don't think he thought about what the outcome was or what he wanted from that. It was just, I'm not happy with this.
Therefore, I agree with that because he never thinks of outcomes, because there's never any consequences to anything he does. Yeah. So he doesn't need to think of outcomes. He's the only driver who gets away with these things, and we just keep changing rules to try and work around it and make sure it works. And every podcast we do now ends up talking about how Max is driving and it's changing the sport and all the rest of it. There's never any consequences, so he never has to think of outcomes. He can do whatever he wants and not get punished. That's what he has been taught in Formula One by the stewards.
Can I jump in and say that he is now 1 point away from a one race ban?
which they won't give him.
He's never going to get that. Yeah.
We've had this situation before. Was it Gasly, I think, got to 12 points before?
Mm. And yeah, they didn't Magnussen.
Gasly got to 10 points, did an offence that would normally earn him 2 points, but the stewards decided there were mitigating circumstances, reduced it to 1 point and left him on 11 points.
Exactly.
Okay, but Magnussen did get a ban as a result of getting 12 points on his
life. Kevin Magnussen,
Magnussen just needed to fucking sneeze and he got a ban. Magnussen just needs to be in the room. Magnussen got harsher penalties for minor accidents than Max got for deliberately driving into another car.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
George got a bigger penalty last weekend for skipping the chicane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so We kind of disagree on what Max's intentions are. Let me tell you what I think an appropriate penalty would be. I don't think a race ban, like as a result of this action, is appropriate. I think he's very close to it because of the points, and I think that they probably would give it to him. But I think that the 10-second penalty wasn't harsh enough. I think it should have been a 10-second stop-go penalty, which works out at about 30 seconds.
That would match the Vettel-Baku one, by the way. Yeah. That's what Vettel
and,
got.
And I think that given the severity of the incident, I think that's a much better penalty. Now, obviously, it was very close to the end of the race, so add 30 seconds on the race time, I think, would have been better. I would have been... okay with a disqualification from the race, but only as, you know, but I wouldn't see it. I would see that more as a punitive thing or to send a message that says, don't do this again. But again, you're kind of reading, you know, it's slightly out. The rules are kind of vague on this. You know, whenever you...
This is the problem. We didn't need rules on this until Max Verstappen turned up, because it turns out no racing driver was going, we'll just fucking drive into other cars then. That sounds good. And in fact, last time we had that, it was Michael Schumacher.
And Ayrton Senna before that.
What happened to Michael Schumacher? He was disqualified from an entire year for doing
because-
it.
And- Yeah, because he was trying to win a championship that way. You know, to end a championship that way, not on. To do it round 9 when you're running in fourth.
But to flip it round again, Michael was doing a reactionary panic thing of, oh God, I need to do something here. Max did something very deliberate of braked, let another car pull inside him, and then looked at him and drove at him. The Max onboard that they released is really damning, because he looks at George several times and then throttles on into him. That's worse than what Michael did. Michael was in a panic mode trying to win a championship. Max was in full online iRacing, I'm just going to drive into you because there's no consequences mode. But he's doing it in real life, and that's a problem.
So I think there's too much thought being put into intention and too much thought being put into consequence. You need to take them out and just, you need to base it on the pure action. And the action is he drove at another car. And that's fundamentally, like, probably one of the worst things you can actively do on a racetrack.
I also think we should be taking out the names and history from this. Let's pretend this isn't Formula One. And let's pretend this is Italian Formula 4, something wild like that. If this video showed up on YouTube and we shared it to each other, you would go, oh, that's wild. That's a race ban. You just would. Somebody brakes to let another car pull alongside and then drives into them. You would immediately go, well, that's definitely a black flag.
Well, this falls back to Sim's point of, I think it was last episode, of take out the driver names, take out the liveries, take out any context. And you just have two white cars do that, and then you judge it on that.
You could totally guess who is who from that as well, wouldn't you? Because-
but that's when you go, okay. Third, 10-second stop-go penalty, you know. And if you keep doing it...
I don't think that's enough.
Well, no, but if you keep doing it...
We've been discussing for the last few years.
Another 3 points, you get another 3 points, and you will get a race ban. I don't doubt that they'll give him a race ban. If he did the same thing again in the next race, I don't doubt that they would give him a ban. But he knows he can't do it. He also knows he was an idiot. I don't want you to think that I'm here to defend what he himself isn't even going to defend. I'm absolutely not. It was a total boneheaded, stupid move. It didn't make any sense. You know, even by the time he got to the TV interviews, like, I know he did some of them and he said, oh, it was just a, you know, it was an incident. I don't want to talk about it. But, you know, he put a thing on Instagram the following day, which basically said, sorry, I screwed up.
He didn't say sorry.
He didn't say sorry.
What happened was wrong and shouldn't have happened. At no point did he say he was sorry or regrets what he did.
He's not going to say sorry. He's just going to say it was wrong. But that's, you know, if you say I did a thing that was wrong, you know, you kind of get me into
be a grown up, is what you mean.
Yeah. But he was a grown up about it. He was a grown up about it afterwards. He wasn't a grown up about it. Yeah, eventually. He wasn't a grown up about it at the time. It's the kind of thing that you do on iRacing, you know, that you shouldn't even do on iRacing. It was not a smart move. But I don't agree that he should be banned as a result.
I do.
No, I don't.
I know, but you all hate Max Verstappen. You hate everything about
him. No, I hate people driving into each other on purpose, it turns out.
Yeah. I think it's good to look back to Vettel and him getting the 10-second stop and go. And I think the slight difference in context, even though I've just said that shouldn't be considered, but if you are going to consider it, it was quite out of character for Vettel, I think. It was kind of in the heat of a championship battle. Vettel kind of didn't have such a record, whereas Max does. And this isn't anything new or surprising.
Vettel kind of did. You know, you think about that clash with Weber as well. Like, Vettel was always a very hard racer.
There's like 5 years between those incidents. With Max, we're talking about this every race. Max has had more incidents this year than Vettel had in his entire career. I'm not saying Vettel's career was clean. It wasn't. But these are not the same, because you can find an incident that Damon Hill had as one of the cleanest drivers in the world and go, oh, well, there's clearly precedent there. It's not the same as every week we have to have a discussion on Max Verstappen and rules and how you write stuff down and word it in a way that he will actually race like a proper racing driver rather than do dangerous things.
But
there's
no other
driver in history that we've had to have these amount of discussions about on an almost weekly basis. Race basis.
You know, we did have that big discussion last year about driving guidelines.
And why did we have that?
Because Max was driving.
There we go.
Beyond what he was driving to the letter of the regulation, which wasn't the spirit of the regulation.
But why did we have those regulations written?
Because they wanted to address the way he drove, because he was driving to the spirit. He was driving against the spirit of the regulations, but he was driving legally to the letter of the regulation. Yeah, I still don't want you to think that I'm here to defend every single Max Verstappen move. I'm not. You can scroll back to, when was that one? He was a real idiot.
Wait, hang on.
I didn't mean it like that. You know, I have been on this podcast numerous times and said, I don't agree with the way that he drives. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. You know, and it's true. Like, I don't agree with all his moves. I don't want you to think that I'm here to say, no, that was totally fair. Crashing into George, totally fair. It's not totally fair. You know, the issue here is, what do we do to prevent it happening again?
Ban him. Actual consequences.
But he's very close to a ban.
The point should be irrelevant.
Being close to a ban
is not the same as being banned. Turns out driving into a car should be a ban.
Yeah, but do you know the last driver who got a ban? Not as a result of totting up penalty points, but the last driver who was actually banned as a result.
Grosjean.
Yes.
Spa.
Yeah, Spa 2012. He had a history of taking out other cars, like crashing into them, taking himself out,
but that
taking other cars out.
I mean, that's a really bad example, because it didn't exactly stop him from doing that, did it, the bans?
No. And Grosjean was
just getting ready for his IndyCar career.
And Grosjean was not trying to push the regulations and try and work around rules and drive dangerously. He was just an idiot. He just kept making mistakes that ended up in large incidents. And quite a lot of the time, I think Grosjean was actually unlucky with some of the way he was treated, because he was treated on the consequences. He was having accidents that other people would have, and they just happened to be larger sometimes. Like the Spa one was horrendous, but you're also like, the mistake he made to cause that was actually quite small.
It's like, the fact he took out three of the title contenders in one swoop. That's what did it.
Yeah, if he had taken out three caterums from the back, nobody would have cared. We wouldn't even be talking about that incident.
The Marty cared there was three caterums, but
true.
If you said three lotuses, I'm sure there's four on the grid at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, like, I don't feel that that's a fair one, because what Max is doing is very deliberate and causing a lot of upset every week, whereas Grosjean's just...
Well, I don't think he's doing... I think he's calmed down a bit.
He just drove into another car on purpose.
Yeah, no, hang on. What I said is I think he has calmed down a bit. I did not say he has calmed down completely.
Well, I disagree with that, because you also just said a minute ago that on Instagram he basically apologized, but he didn't apologize, and you said that he regretted it. However, in all of the post-race interviews, the journalist called him out and said the drivers are not happy, and he said, well, they can bring a tissue. He also... tried to intimidate journalists who were asking difficult questions. He has not grown up or backed down or improved at all. We've seen the ultimate stroppy Max in
Spain. I think if this had been 2019 Max, he would have doubled down on what he did to George. Whereas this is 2025 Max, which has elements of 2019 Max, but 2025 Max realizes, hang on, I screwed up here.
2019 Max didn't drive into another car deliberately.
No, but he did punch a driver.
He did. I don't see any evidence that he's improved at all. We've just had one of his possibly worst incidents ever. And then a big strop afterwards, then trying to intimidate journalists, saying that the other drivers should bring tissues if they're not happy, being driven into on purpose by other cars. And then what we call it okay because he posts on Instagram going, yeah, maybe wasn't right.
So do you think he should be banned for the next race?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think he should be banned for the following race?
Don't know.
Do you think he should be banned for the rest of the season?
Probably not the rest of the season, but it needs to be kind of one step at a time. You commit a major crime, there has to be consequences.
So you ban him for the next race, he comes back, and then round, I don't know, 54 of this year, it seems like there's a lot of races this year, you know, somewhere near the end.
Need a week
he
off.
Gets in, he, yeah. Well, he doesn't get a week off. He's busy crashing into George Russell.
He needs a week off.
Yeah, yeah. You're giving him a week off.
Yeah, I'm giving him lots of weeks off.
you know, if he ends up having a similar-ish incident again, what do you do then? Ban him for two races?
Yeah.
And then if it happens again, do you
remove his super license?
Him from all revoke his super license entirely?
Right. Yeah. Let's flip this around a little bit then. If you did this at the Nürburgring 24 hours, you would be parked the first time, your license would be removed, you would then have to re-qualify for your license before being allowed to race again. And not only that's not just like making that up, this has happened several times in the last year or so.
Didn't that happen last year?
Yeah, exactly. To some very high-profile drivers as well.
Yeah.
Are we saying that it's acceptable in Formula 1 to do that, but it's not acceptable in the Nürburgring?
Well, I guess each series has their own tolerances.
So why is F1 significantly larger tolerance than any other series? Because if you did this in British Touring Car Championship, you'd get a ban.
Ah, come on. British Touring Car was basically, like, that's like wrestling, except in tin tops.
That's my point, because British Touring Cars has banned people for this. So the WWE of motorsport says this is unacceptable. And in F1, they go, yeah, it's fine, give them 10 seconds. And whilst we're on the 10 seconds bit, if this had happened without a safety car, let's just say George and Max were battling for it, the gaps would have been large enough that 10 seconds wouldn't have made a difference, and it would have been no penalty anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is why I don't think the penalty was harsh enough.
But even with the 30 seconds, it probably wouldn't have cost them that much. So the penalty is nowhere near harsh enough, and any other series would have thrown the book at the driver, even British Touring Car Championship. Didn't Santoni Ferrucci do this and get banned in F2, actually?
Yeah, he did.
Well, it's actually okay for Max Verstappen. No other series puts up with this. Why is it okay for Max Verstappen?
why not? He was driver of the day. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I've got opinions on that as well.
What I did like about what Max said as well, because I think the interviewer made a comment about how it kind of the impact on the championship, and he just went, well, I wasn't in the championship anyway.
he's not, but
he's in full child mode at that point.
That's it, yeah.
He's having a complete stroppy meltdown because he's not getting things his way.
But, do you think it's going to happen again?
Yeah.
It happens almost every week.
It doesn't happen every week. Come on, wise up. It happens every few months, maybe.
No. To be fair, 2 months. He made a good overtake at Imola.
Yeah, he did.
Wow, the world champion finally managed to make an overtake without making contact with another car. Let's give him so much credit.
It was a good overtake, to be fair. You know, it's just this is part of the Max Verstappen personality. This is
it's not a justification, though.
No, it's not a justification, you know, but it's that mentality that gives him 4 world championships. It's that mentality that, you know, that
if he had a better mentality, he could have won 8. Just, you know,
yeah.
There's other drivers who have, just saying.
8? Not sure about that.
One more angle that's not really been mentioned, I don't think, but he has previously made threats to George.
Yeah.
And then this just happens to be George as well.
He said he would do this, and then he did it, and everybody's done a shocked face.
Yeah, but they actually, in an interview about 2 weeks ago, they were much more friendly to each other, and they kind of both of them suggested that this beef, which don't know where it came from, had blown over.
Well, we know where it came from because George kept calling him out.
And then he said he's going to ram George into a barrier.
Max kept doing stupid things. George said, that's not okay. And Max threw the dummy out and said he would ram George. And now he's rammed George. And we're all going, yeah, but 2 weeks ago, they were happy. That's not how evidence works, by the way. If you go to court, you don't get to just dismiss everything because somebody posted a nice post on Instagram.
I think he did feel rattled because it was George more than if it had been Nico Hülkenberg.
I think he felt rattled because the pit stop call wasn't great because they had no good option at that point. He then made a mistake, which he didn't like.
Yeah.
He then got bullied by Leclerc in a way that Max is happy to do to the others, but there was no real issue there. Two cars made contact on the straight, you see all the time. George made a mistake and they made a slight contact. So all these little things added up, not going to his way, and he had a tantrum. Let's just use that word because that's exactly what it is. Max was feeling a lot of emotions.
Yeah, I don't in any way disagree with that. I completely agree with everything you just said. You know, I think there's a very obvious way of reading the turn of events here, which is exactly what you described. The issue is what we do about it. Not what we do about it, what Formula One does about it, what the FIA does about it.
Maybe you could have consequences. That's what you do about it.
Well,
the thing is, as well, would a race ban be such a consequence? Because if Max then feels he's not in the championship, so he's not a threat to that. So if you ban Max for a week, he's just going to go and drive somewhere else, probably.
He'll be at Le Mans. You ban him the week after, he'll be at the Ring 24. Ban him the week after, he'll be at Spa 24.
Yeah, but those CDs would have consequences. If he did that at the Nürburgring, they would ban the car, not just the driver.
Mm.
So I'm all for Max retiring and going to other series and working out that he doesn't actually just run the world.
Yeah, he does. He's a reigning world champion. Get 4 in a row.
Not going to be soon, is he?
Nope.
Oh, hey, here's a small subject change. That turn one, or turn two, kind of runoff alternative route penalty thing, it was completely broken because it wasn't slower. Like people made advantages from that and got penalised.
It did seem very fast.
Hulk gained 5 places on lap one by taking it.
But then they were telling people, weren't they, to give the place back. But they'd followed the alternative route.
Yeah.
So
they did everything that was required of them.
Yeah, and then got told to give it back. So it was so broken.
It was the same issue in the F3, F2 and Porsche Supercup races as well. Every time somebody used that, they ended up either the same or better off. I think back in the day, They had a better one in Russia where it was like a mini chicane. I think it was Carlos Sainz stuffed it in the wall whilst trying to navigate it.
Yeah.
And I think they stopped using the mini chicane style because Carlos Sainz stuffed it in the wall. But that's what you actually need, is like a mini chicane to slow you down.
Well, they not have just that at Monza. That's your classic turn one at Monza one, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Until they make it out of polystyrene and somebody just drives through it.
Vettel with no brakes, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, kind of on the previous topic, but a different part of the incident, I was quite surprised when they said that there wasn't going to be any action for Max skipping the chicane.
Yeah.
That actually surprised me a little bit. George and Max made contact, and it was George's fault. But when you watch Max's on board, he then makes a very conscious decision to not bother staying on the racetrack and just go, right, I'm going across turn one, two now. And you kind of go, okay, fair enough. Like, I can kind of see that. But he didn't get put there. He made an active choice to go off the track, and then there was going to be no further action. That surprised me. I know Anthony Davidson disagreed. He said that, no, that was totally fine. But I don't know, if you make a decision to skip the track, that seems like you should be penalised for that one.
Yeah. Surely the argument here is I was taking avoiding action because I didn't know how far he was going to come.
Yeah, but it clearly caught Red Bull by surprise because they told Max to give the place back.
Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, George was definitely enough ahead to warrant a discussion on whose place it was, and Red Bull decided to play it safe.
Well, yeah. that's the thing, is like, by the rules, George was actually alongside enough. He had gotten his car to the point of using the rules that were written for Max Verstappen. He used them on Max Verstappen. Max skipped the chicane, and it was going to be in no further action, which is surprising. Yeah,
that's the funny thing.
Sky and Ant did go into very, very tight detail to kind of show that George was not in control of this little oversteer snap behind Leclerc, which I think it's a very weak kind of argument.
I mean, and he was very briefly out of control.
Yeah.
But then he was very in control again. Like, so are we calling any time a car has opposite lock out of control? Because that's a
I didn't think it was enough out of control to warrant just taking sort of runoff to avoid it, to be honest. Yeah. That was Max being opportunistic.
I wonder if I
was with the FIA steward, I'd just think it'd be funnier to say that we wouldn't have taken, you know, any action.
And if you think about it, this incident started with what ended up being a strategy problem, because when the safety car came out and they didn't have any soft tyres, they probably should not have pitted Max, because pitting him kept him in the same position with worse tyres. You might as well have kept him first at that point and seen what have happened.
I have been wondering what Sim's theory was, because I didn't know if this would be triggering or if it was justification.
What, Max stopping under safety car and it turns out or Max being out front on much worse tyres, a threat from the car behind on much fresher tyres with a handful of laps to go?
I mean, it is interesting, because one of the things that has always levelled at Lewis at Abu Dhabi 21 was that he should have pitted and taken the fresh tyres. But as we saw with Max this weekend, that's no guarantee, because he couldn't get them up to temperature whatsoever. So it's entirely possible the same would have happened in Abu Dhabi back then.
And in Abu Dhabi, if Lewis had pitted, Max might not have anyway. Yeah. And it really completely, like, it was not the same thing as I mean, Spain.
One thing it did interest me, though, was, and I think Lewis actually commented, it was how long it took them to get the track back to green. Safety car procedure, because it seemed to take two laps for them to let the pack catch up, which just
so I could see this long from trackside, and it was actually quite interesting. So the cleanup of the oil took a lot longer than I thought it would. So this is something I didn't know from watching on TV. When the safety car boards are out, the area that has had the incident is still under a double waved yellow, so there's no safety car board there. It's a double waved yellow. That was under double-waved yellow for a long time, and there was marshals down there dealing with it a lot longer than I thought it would be. And they started on what appeared to be the left-hand side of the track and then cross over the track, which presumably that's where Kimi went. When they released the pack, whoever the lead car was, maybe one of the Alpines.
It's Lawson.
There's a discussion to be had about him as well before we stop this podcast. They were not at full pelt. I know that there's like a delta that they run to and things like that, but they were not traveling quickly. It was a good couple of laps before they even got close to the back. The whole thing took a lot longer than what I expected it would. But I could also see why. Because the cleanup took a while, and then those cars just did not catch the pack.
Yeah, Lawson was going slower than the safety car was for some reason around the back of the track.
Yeah.
He was trying, bless him.
Is there
that's as fast as you could go.
See if Max gets banned, do you put Lawson in the number one car for a race just for a laugh?
Well, I mean, I don't know the answer to this question. Is if you're under safety car, is there a delta time that you have to keep?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah, so I assume that Lawson didn't want to go anywhere near that delta time.
I presume that there was some sort of
end of it.
Yeah, I think there was a logic error of he went over at one point, so then had to go under at another to balance it out or something, like you do with average speed cameras.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Well, so maybe that's a rule that needs looked at as well. You know, if you're being waved through most of the track, you have a slightly faster delta, but then that seems a bit dangerous. So,
well, we had this discussion on Vocast at one point, and I think it was Sim that disagreed. I think Nick suggested it, maybe, that you could just have the cars drop to the back of the pack and then credit the lap, which Sim wasn't a fan of because they haven't covered the distance. And I get that argument because now you've got slightly more fuel or whatever. I get it. But that's one way of solving the safety car procedure.
I mean, which is actually a
discussion to be had about ACO and SRO racing as well, because those have been ridiculous.
I mean, the flip side of that is we're releasing the cars because we want to bring the safety car in because it's safe to go racing again. So there's no need for the Delta for them to catch the pack back up.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you have like a green flag zone and a yellow flag zone. Green flag zone, there is no delta. You know, you drive whatever speed you want, try and catch up, you know.
Yeah.
And it's basically under green flag conditions for cars that are on lapping themselves.
Yeah. That's or all just green, cars, green not flag any conditions. Cars.
Yeah. Green flag conditions, unless you're behind a safety car, in which case you cannot go any faster.
Yeah. You catch the pack up.
Yeah.
Still on the topic of the race, has anybody seen, Sim, you'll have definitely seen it, the TikTok memes of the Liam Lawson song, "Everybody get out my way, I'm Liam Lawson, I'm Liam Lawson." That started as a meme, and he seems to have went, oh, that's going to be my personality.
Yeah.
Because he's a complete menace.
He is.
I mean, that's been his personality since he's been in Formula One, just be a menace.
Liam Lawson does seem like a product of Max Verstappen and Red Bull coming together to form a driver, almost.
He's Max
with the
Verstappen,
attitude and not the ability.
Yeah, he's Max Verstappen without the ability. He's got Daniel Kvyat's ability and Max Verstappen's attitude, and it's mashed together into this.
Isn't that just Jos Verstappen?
I mean, is he going to be in Formula One next year?
Lawson.
Shouldn't be.
Yes, he is. He's probably going to be at Racing Bull.
He'll be at
Racing
Bull, yeah.
Is that just because we don't have enough Red Bull drivers in Formula 2 to replace him?
Yeah.
Yep. I was going to say, who will be his teammate then?
It's Isaac Hadjar. No, he'll be dragged kicking and screaming into the second Red Bull seat, I think.
So is
Yuki Tsunoda then?
Is Yuki definitely getting sacked, we think?
No, they've got a driver who's eligible for his super license in August, I think it is.
Then he's getting a seat in August then. That's
basically what they think everyone's holding out for now.
Who is it?
Oh, I cannot remember his name. For the life
of me. Formula 2 or?
Yeah.
The funny thing is nobody can remember them. There was an incident in Formula 2 at Monaco and with one of the Red Bull cars, and the other car was asked on the radio, who was it he had the incident with? And he's like, I don't know, there's a million Red Bull cars here. Nobody knows the F2 Red Bull drivers. I'm also really, really upset that I went all the way to Spain to see Lance Stroll.
And he didn't see you.
And Lance Stroll didn't see me. I'm very deeply upset about that one. I didn't see
He knew you were coming.
I didn't.
You know, and he was like,
Lord and Savior,
I'm getting
himself.
First plane out of here, straight to Geneva for me.
There appears to be a lot of weird stories going around about this one as well, that he lost his temper and threw something about and hurt his hand, and the team have completely denied that, and Lance has denied that, but BBC and Benson are still running with that story.
They're saying he definitely threw stuff and punched stuff. Nobody's denying that. It's just that they're saying that wasn't related to him injuring his hand.
In the last time,
maybe,
he,
I mean,
he was actually
maybe this
good.
was the team's way of saying to him, you can't act like that. You're out, and we're going to say that you've hurt your hand.
Nobody is doing that in Lawrence Stroll's team.
Not when your dad is the team boss, but son. You know, I'm just trying to think of how these two incidents are related.
I worked at a fast food restaurant in my youth, and I got angry one day, punched the toaster, and then had a big burn on my hand. But, you know, do I claim that they weren't related?
That is an incredible comparison.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it? But I suppose that's a good point from you, Scott, that maybe he isn't injured and it is just an excuse to kind of take him out the seat. Because maybe Daddy Stroll is worried about the image.
No, Daddy Stroll fully believes Lance can be world champion.
He's fully on board with that idea.
Maybe genuinely, like his wrist genuinely was quite painful, especially after, was this a triple header? We had Monaco, then we had Imola. You know, that, especially, you know,
it's the first race Monaco back after a triple header, isn't it?
Yeah. Monaco is tough, I guess. Maybe he felt it was kind of borderline and decided, I need to get this sorted before my home race in Canada in a couple of weeks' time. Maybe he just decided, you know what, it is really sore, I'm going to bail here.
Yeah, maybe he had a tennis accident between sessions.
One of those.
Just like Juan Pablo.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, he definitely wasn't on a quad bike. No way. No,
who plays tennis on a quad bike, Dave?
Yeah. Again, possible show title.
So they're talking about Drugovic replacing them for Montreal, which would throw a little bit of a spanner in one of the P2 team's issues at Le Mans, because Drugovic is driving there. If Drugovic did get the drive in Canada, how do we think he would do?
Crap.
Yeah. The car's crap anyway.
He's going to qualify last or last adjacent.
He'll qualify ahead of Yuki Tsunoda on the back row.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I think Yuki will do much better because that car, I think that car will be better in Canada.
So
it doesn't have quite too many sort of long constant radius corners.
The reason I wanted to ask this, because I think is the lack of Formula One testing hurting a lot of the rookies coming into the sport?
Absolutely.
No.
And that's why I wanted to have this discussion.
No, because they all have incredible simulators, but also because for all the rookies they all have the same amount of testing. Yeah, thanks, Nick. The but same amount of testing as anybody else.
Because Yuki Tsunoda did not get to drive.
Well, if anything, they have more because they have the young driver's testing day.
Ah, but Yuki Tsunoda didn't get to drive the Red Bull before he got in it. Because
he should have signed for Christmas time then.
He did it in the post-season test.
He did drive it in the end of year test.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, but yeah, but that was last year's car. He didn't get to drive this year's car. Whereas Lawson got to drive this year's car, and Drugovic wouldn't even get to drive the car at all if he gets a go. Like, this is why there's a
discussion. He's driven it in the young driver tests and free practice as well.
You get my point. That's not the same as we're going to Silverstone for a couple of days and pounding around and doing 140 laps.
No, but again, somebody has to pay for that. And, is it going to come? Would you rather put your rookie around Silverstone or spend extra on a new front wing for both drivers? You know, it's not for competitive reasons. It's for finance reasons.
They're in a cost cap.
There's a budget cap now. So just go and spend it how you want. If you want to go and hire Silverstone for a weekend and spend slightly less on sandwiches, then great, on you go.
Now you're talking.
See? This is why there's a discussion to be had. When you introduce a budget cap, you can start lifting rules, and I think testing should be one of them.
Well, I nominate you to be head of the FIA. I think you would probably do a better job, even if we disagree on quite a lot of things, starting with USBC and ending with Max Verstappen's penalties. I'm pretty sure any of us would do a better job than MBS.
So. Seen him at the weekend.
Did you?
Of course
he did. He looked suitably depressed.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. And everybody else saw him and made sure. I mean, he's basically one step away from being in the driver's parade, isn't he? or getting his own parade.
Well, he is a driver, Scott. He is a Formula One driver.
He is a driver, as witnessed by that incredible video of him in the Renault F1 car.
They put out a great press release recently. I can't remember what it was, but instead of having a plain white background behind the text, it had a picture of MBS wearing his rally driving suit, just to kind of prove the point that he's a driver.
Barcelona is a crap circuit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Although it's probably going to get worse being replaced with Madrid, isn't it? Because that was the last race in Barcelona now. That's that one done.
I don't think it will be.
No. There's a race there next season. They've both got the race next season, I believe.
Right, oh, okay.
Yeah, so Barcelona and the Madring.
I thought it was the last one because...
European Grand Prix?
Because I think F2 posted that was their last race there.
Yeah,
the Madrid thing will fall through just like Valencia, and then they'll end up back at Barcelona.
Yeah. Well, Valencia was kind of like before they got good at street circuits, wasn't it? It's like they were still trying to work it out, and now they're fully down. They were doing street circuits thing. Barcelona's a weird one. I don't particularly like the circuit. I don't think it produces great racing. I think it's more fun to drive in games than it is to watch. But I'd be slightly sad if it's gone because it's a little bit old school.
You know, it has some old school corners.
Yeah.
You know, it has some new school corners, and I guess quite a lot of Barcelona is a template for modern circuits. But when you think about, like, the last three turns are now quite interesting. That turn 9 where you were, like, that's a good corner. In fact, and the turn before it, that turn is turn 8 the left, or is it the right that takes you up to turn 9? Don't know.
I think anyway, the left is 7. That's
quite cool. Quite like that.
Yeah, and the last corner is kind of crazy now with the way the cars are.
That's great.
Speed. Yeah, also, that's a lot more downhill than I thought it was. Like, I knew it was a hill, but then I was standing at the bottom of there going, that's a hill. Like, that's steep.
I guess it always, whenever they ran the really terrible layout beforehand with the awful chicane, you could really see the hill. But I think with the camera angles now, with it being a much more opened out corner, you don't really get a sense of that hill anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would miss that circuit if it was gone, even though I don't actually like it and kind of want it gone. It's a weird one. It's kind of like the Hungaro Ring. I don't feel it adds that much.
You can't
get
rid of the Hungaro Ring.
But I agree. But I also feel like it brings nothing to the calendar. We need another circuit.
Every now and again, though, there's a classic. So, you know,
2004,
You think about Esteban Ocon managing to win a race. Think about 1997, Damon Hill. I was at that race. There are classic tracks that don't always produce classic racing, but are a link to Formula One of years gone by that I think we can't ignore.
So my kind of main issue was that there's this whole thing they couldn't be within 3 seconds, which is a huge gap to not be able to follow someone in. Is that a circuit issue then, or is it the car design that will come to the point in the regs where it's so optimized?
Yes, it is.
That, yeah.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's just yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the circuit exaggerates the problem because everything there is fast. You think about it, there's not actually a really slow corner there. Even the hairpins are decently fast for what they are, apart from maybe the one where Kimi's engine failure. So it just exaggerates it.
Like that turn 1, turn 2, chicane, that's fast.
I really like that. I do really like that.
It's great.
Turn 3 is actually kind of crazy as well. Like the F1 cars are maybe a little bit too much grip there, but the Formula 2 cars and below, the drivers look like they're just hanging on for dear life and hoping that it doesn't run wide, you know? And then the downhill where Max and George had their incident, that's vaguely interesting. And then you've got the left, right, up the hill. That's pretty interesting. You've got the right-hander. That's pretty good. Standard hairpin after that. And then the last sector is really interesting. So in theory, it should be a much better track than it actually is. But I just don't
There's
think
just
it
not
is.
That much space for passing, though, isn't there? You know, it's turn 1 or... see it turn 1 again. That's it, really.
Yeah. The thing that struck me a little bit being trackside, and I felt this at Silverstone as well, is that racetracks are smaller than you think. and you see these big runoffs on TV, and then you're actually there and you go, that runoff's really not that big. In fact, you could clear that gravel track pretty easily. Because I remember standing at Cops going, this is not as big as what it looks. And then, of course, you see the Max Verstappen video where him and Lewis had the incident, and Max clears that gravel track really easily. And I felt that at Barcelona as well, standing there going, if somebody had an off at turn 9, it'd be massive. Like, I know there's a gravel trap here, but you could clear that really easily on a bad day. So racetrack's a lot smaller than I thought they'd be.
Yeah, TV does weird things to all kinds of angles and depth and all of this kind of stuff. You really need to experience this kind of thing in person.
Speed perception as well. It's a big one. F1 cars are really slow.
As you mentioned in the video, noise perception as well.
I think we should have a discussion on that at some point. This episode's gone too long for it, but F1 cars louder than what you'd expect in person. But Formula 3 cars, uncomfortably loud. By far the loudest car there. Formula 3 cars, really, really loud. So
all noise, no engine, no power. No speed.
Yeah, but the funny thing was all the Formula cars sounded exactly the same, just at different noise levels. F1, F2, and F3 sounded exactly the same, except for F3 was louder. Which is a little
bit disappointing. Well, let's bring back Judd V12s or something then.
Absolutely. Because you've got a cost cap, you can do that. If somebody wants to stick a BRM H16 and something, on you go.
Yeah, great for Monza. Absolutely hopeless at Monaco, though.
That'd be great in Monaco. All you need to do is be vaguely near the front, and the engine is wide enough to block the whole circuit. Great.
This episode was brought to you by the Racing Line app, your personal motorsport calendar. Don't miss a single race. With over 150 series and 600 events, the Racing Line provides start times in your time zone, live streaming, and customizable notifications to alert you to the events that are important to you. Motor racing is our thing. Don't miss out on any of it. Get the Racing Line app from the App Store today. Come on, wise up. That's enough out of you.